today is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, concerning the journey of the two men to Emmaus. And behold, there were that day two men that journeyed to a village called Emmaus, which was 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all those things that had come to pass. One of these men we know from this chapter was Cleopas. For this Cleopas, according to the commentary, he was an uncle to Jesus Christ. He was married to the sister of the Blessed Virgin, and he had two sons which were disciples, and these two sons, they were first cousins to Jesus. The other one, no one knows who he was. The Bible doesn't give us his name, and guessing is most of the time missing. But these two men, they had left Jerusalem probably in the afternoon. They had been there in the morning, and they had likewise met the women that came back from the grave, and who had said they had seen a vision of angels which had said that he was alive. But they, with the rest of the disciples, did not believe what these women had said was true. Their words were like idle tales, we read to them. And they had decided that they would go back to their hometown, and they would take up again their occupation, and they would forget all about what had taken place concerning Jesus. For they had thought altogether different concerning why Jesus came into this world. They had thoughts that Jesus would be their king and that he would rule over the Jewish people. But no such thing took place. All their hopes, all their expectations of Jesus and what he would be were dashed to the ground. For he had been taken, he had been condemned, he had been crucified, he had been killed, and he had been buried. They had seen and witnessed these things. And all what they had thought of Jesus concerning him being the Messiah, it all seemed to have subsided by them, and they decided that they would go back. And we find them going back to Galilee, to this town called Emmaus, which was about 8 miles north of Jerusalem. They had then before them about a 2-hour walk. For if you can walk 4 miles in an hour, you're walking pretty rapidly. And now they were walking together and talking with each other about these things that had taken place. They were likewise in a sad condition. They were cast down because all their hopes and expectations were gone. And now while they were talking and communing with each other, it pleased Jesus to draw near unto them. If you will take particular notice, this is when Jesus comes to his people, when they're sad, when they're cast down, when they can't believe anymore, when their hopes and expectations are all gone. He knows their state, he knows their condition, and that's just when he comes. That's when he visits them. And now he come along the same road. He probably walked behind them at first, and then caught up with them. And when he came near unto them, he spake unto them and said unto them, "What communications are these that ye have one with another? And why do ye look so sad?" And this Cleopas, he gave him an answer and said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and knowest not the things that have taken place therein this day?" It appears that Cleopas thought everybody knew about this. It had been noised abroad throughout the whole city of Jerusalem what they had done with Jesus. They had taken an innocent man, and they had condemned him before Pilate, and they had crucified him. Oh, did not he know anything about this? Was he a total stranger to this? Art thou then a stranger to these things that took place these days in Jerusalem? And the strangers said, what things? And Cleopas again takes up the word and says, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and the people. Or he begins to witness about Jesus. They had been talking about him, and their hearts were so sad about him, but they began to speak to this stranger about Jesus. Or he gave a wonderful testimony of Jesus, Cleopas. Or he was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word. Or he did so many wonders. He did so many good deeds. He went through the land. He was a good man. He was a gracious man, a merciful man. Or he raised up the dead. He raised up the sick that were afflicted, many that were with palsies, many that were blind, many that were deaf. They were given their sight. They were given their hearing. And all he'd done these things just by speaking with the word. He was mighty. His word had power in it. And he spake to publicans, to harlots. He was a friend of the sinners, of the common people. And all, many of them even, they were wrought upon. This isn't written there, but this is what we can take out of what he said. He began to expound the glory of this precious Jesus. And he said that he was mighty indeed and mighty in word before God and all the people. He'd done nothing but good. And now after doing all these good things, just think, this is what these rulers did. This is what these priests did. They took him. They condemned him. And they had him killed. They had him slain. And we trusted that it was he that should deliver Israel. And now it is the third day since that took place. These two men, my hearers, are a type probably of some of you that are listening to me. You may say, in which way? Well, this Jesus, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word. Has he not done mighty things to some of you? Has he not raised some of you up from a death in sin, delivered you from the world, delivered you from every former friend, and brought you to his feet? That's a mighty deed, my hearers. No man can do that. Jesus done that many times. While he was here upon earth, he still does the same thing. He probably has done it to some of you. And how did he do this? He did this by his word. Oh, he spake and it was done. His word was with power. It was with mercy and with love that it entered probably into your hearts. And his word was sweet to your taste. You remember this when it took place with you? This wonderful deed of grace, of mercy, of love. Oh, this gracious prophet. He did this probably many years ago to some of you. It was only 3 days since this had taken place with Jesus, but how many years have gone by since this mighty deed took place with you? And probably you are like these disciples. How were they? I've been explaining to you how they were. They couldn't believe anymore that he was the Messiah. Concerning Jesus, they had no more hopes or expectations. So would you probably. Oh, it has come so low with you that you can't believe that it ever was of God, that it ever was of Jesus. You are like these disciples. They were very sad, cast down inwardly, and so are you probably. Oh, my hearers, and this is the time when Jesus comes. That's when he visits his people. That's when they need him. And so it was with these two disciples. He came near unto them. Hasn't he ever come near unto you? Hasn't he ever spoken unto you? He spake unto these disciples. What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? And why ye look so sad? My hearers, suppose you were walking with someone, and Jesus should come and should say unto you, what manner of communications are these that you have? I am afraid, very much afraid, that there wouldn't be any communications about Jesus. your conversation would be worldly. It would be about the things of time and sense. Probably it was about somebody else, some neighbor, someone that you knew had done something wrong. You picked on it. You seen the sins and the faults of others, and you were broadcasting them. Or if Jesus should say, what kind of communications are these that ye have one with another? How would it affect you? Would it not make you ashamed? You wouldn't have any conversation about Jesus, that you missed him, that you thought maybe you never would find him, that it was all wrong, that it was lost. This is the way these disciples were walking. And they began to unburden themselves. They began to speak unto Jesus. Or Cleopas, he took up the word. And he began to explain to him the things that had taken place in Jerusalem. And was he now a stranger to these things? Had he never heard of these things? Of this stranger, he was none other but Jesus. But he had put something upon their eyes that they did not know him. Their eyes were holden, we read. How that Jesus did this, we know not. They did not recognize him. In another gospel we read, and he appeared in another form unto them. From this we may gather that Jesus, after he was risen from the dead, he had a body that was becoming glorious. And in this way, he could change himself. He could make himself visible and invisible. He could change himself into another form likewise. And so, these disciples, they did not know this person that was with them and who came along with them and began to talk with them. And they began to speak freely to him. They began to talk about Jesus to him. What a wonderful prophet he was, and what wonderful deeds he had done, and how that he had been treated by the rulers and by the priest, and how, likewise, there had been some women that very morning that had been to the sepulcher very early, and when they came there, they found not the body of Jesus, and they came back saying they had seen a vision of angels which had said that he is alive. Now these two disciples, they should have believed these women. They didn't accept what these women had said. They had been going back to their place of habitation and probably to their former employment, giving up all hope. And now we find that they likewise began to speak about what they thought about him. And we trusted that it was he that would deliver Israel. This is what they thought. You see, in this they trusted that he would become their king, that he would rule over them, that he would reign over them. They had no idea, no insight in the way of salvation as it was in Jesus Christ. They did not see and believe that what he was doing was according to the scriptures and that this should take place. They had no insight in this. They only thought that he was going to become an outward king over the Jewish people. And now that was done. He was dead. He was buried. It was all gone. But that he really and truly did redeem Israel, that spiritual Israel, that he gave himself for them on the cross of Calvary, they had no insight in this, no. And now this Jesus, he began to speak to them. After they had spoken concerning Jesus, had given such a wonderful testimony of him, then Jesus began to speak. And he says unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he began from Moses, through all the prophets and the scriptures, to expound unto them the things concerning himself. Jesus calls them fools. Fools. slow of heart to believe. They weren't fools, we would say, wicked people are. But this was an expostulation on the part of Jesus, that they were not mindful, that they did not accept the witness of the women who had spoken to them that he was alive. It would have been for their interest had they done that. But they were fools not to accept that. And they likewise were fools in this respect, that they had the scriptures in their hands. They had the prophets before them. And had they but read Isaiah 53, had they but read Daniel 9, then they would have followed Christ and seen that what had taken place was according to the scriptures. But they had not done this. Therefore, they were ignorant, they were foolish in this respect, that having the Bible in their hands, they did not know that Jesus had to do these things that he did. Ought not Christ to suffer these things? It was written, it had to take place. The word of God had to be fulfilled. It never could fail. And likewise, that he should enter into his glory. He came from glory. From all eternity, he was at the right hand of the Father, clothed with majesty and honor and glory. He descended into this lower earth. He accomplished what his Father had laid upon him to do. And now after he was risen from the dead, this was the first step of his glory. He would soon go back to his Father in glory, where he is at the present time. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he begins to expound unto them out of the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, my hearers, what a sermon this must have been. It's too bad it wasn't put down. It's too bad that the Spirit didn't give some holy man to write that down in this precious book, that we would have that what Jesus had told these two men concerning himself. He began at Moses, and all when he began to speak, my hearers, then these disciples, they had nothing more to say. They just had to listen. And all he began at Moses. There God had given unto the Israelites so many sacrifices. These sacrifices all pointed to this wonderful sacrifice of Christ. This offering up of lambs and of he-goats. And this, what the Jewish people had received was from him. This precious Jesus that was standing there and talking with them. He began to expound these scriptures that he had given these holy men to write down. He began to explain to them all the things concerning himself. Oh, what a wonderful blessing this was for these men. My hearers, when the Lord Jesus Christ begins to expound and explain the things concerning himself unto his dear people, oh, it's so plain, it's so clear. And he makes it so lively, because what he teaches is accompanied with life within. And oh, what a wonderful blessing if you come to the house of God and Jesus the prophet begins to expound unto you the things concerning himself. Then you don't have any trouble with falling asleep. Then your ears are open. Then your heart is open. Then you're not wishing that somebody would say amen and that it was time to go home. You would wish that this would continue. And so it was with these two men. Oh, they had such a wonderful companion. They never had anybody explain the scriptures like he did, and he was concealed from them. Haven't you ever had it, some of you listening to me? Haven't you ever come up to the house of God and suddenly your ears were open, your heart was open, and everything was just for you? Oh, it was just like if God was talking to you. And you couldn't say it was Jesus. You couldn't believe that it was Jesus, but it still was. He concealed himself. He held back your understanding in the eyes of your faith and of your hope and of your love from himself. And still, You never had anything like that. Oh, it was wonderful for these disciples to listen to this blessed Savior explaining the scriptures. Oh, he only has to speak one word, my brothers, and his word is with power. His word is with faith. His word penetrates to the heart. Has it ever penetrated into your heart? Or have you ever heard the voice of this blessed Jesus speaking unto you? What a mercy, my hearers, if this has taken place in your life. But then when you come to the house of God, you would wish that it was like that every time. Oh, but it's so seldom that this takes place, you say. That is true. All these disciples, they had a wonderful time on the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. I don't think that they ever forgot that day and ever forgot that journey. And who was this person? He was a total stranger to them. Oh, they had unbosomed themselves. They had explained to him why they looked sad. They had let out their hearts to him. And he was a stranger. You know, many times you can talk better with strangers that know you not than you do with someone that knows you. Or you can sometimes let out yourself to someone in such a way that God gives you to do it. Oh, so it was with these men. They let out themselves to him who they did not know. He was holding their eyes from the vision of himself and from the knowledge of himself. And now they got near to the village. Thinking of this, I thought, I'm sure that they wish they weren't getting near to that village. It was so good for them. They were listening to something that they loved to hear, and now they were getting near to their house where they were going to be, and they wished that they weren't there yet. You ever been that way in the house of God? You didn't wish that this church would go out. You wished that the sermon would continue or that the minister would continue to preach. It was so good. It was so sweet. So I think it was with these two men. But they came near to the village. And as they came near to the village, Jesus, he acted as if he was going to go further. He was going to leave them. And now they were so attached to him. What he had been speaking about had found such a place in their hearts, and they felt so much love to this stranger to let him go. They didn't want to leave him go. I can see them. They took him by the hand, by the arm. They said, come with us, abide with us. Oh, come on in with us and stay with us and eat with us. For it's evening and the time is far spent. Oh, they said, abide with us. They didn't want to miss his company. They wanted to hear more about this blessed Jesus who he was expounding unto them about. Oh, my hearers, have you ever been that way under the means of grace? Oh, I would say, dear Bible class, please, let us lift up our prayer unto him. Abide with us. You know, it's an evening time for the Church of Christ at the present time. An evening time for many of his dear people. So seldom do they have any meetings with Jesus. So seldom do they have anything under the means of grace. We are living in barren and dry times for the Church of Christ. And it's so necessary that we pray that he would abide with us. For if he departs, we have nothing but the form. And soon the church will be nothing else but a worldly establishment left to itself. This is what many churches have become. Oh, abide with us. For the evening is drawing nigh. Oh, my hearers, it may be with your soul likewise. You have sometimes enjoyed his presence. You didn't want to meet anybody. You didn't want to talk with anybody. You wanted to keep that by yourself. And you likewise said, oh, abide with me. Oh, do not go away from me. Darkness is coming. And oh, what shall it become of me? You wanted his presence, his love, his favor. What a sweet time it is, my hearers, when Jesus is with us. And if you will take notice, he was entreated of them. I like that. Oh, may he be entreated of us. May we entreat him to remember us in mercy and to stay with us as a church, as a congregation, and to reveal his love, his power, his grace in the hearts of many of you that are listening to me. Abide with us, for the evening is drawing nigh, and the day is far spent. May I take it in another sense? There are many of us that are in the evening time of our life. Some of us are over 60, some of us 70, some probably 80. There are some amongst my hearers. We are in the evening time of our life. Life will soon come to an end. Have you ever had a meeting with Jesus? Have you ever experienced something of his word in your very heart? Oh, I am sure as it grows older and older with you, you wish that he would abide with you, that he would reveal more and more in your heart that you are one of his dear children. For our life is drawing nigh to a close. As the day was drawing nigh unto a close, so our lives likewise are coming to an end. And oh, what that will be to die without Jesus. Oh, my dear hearers, I feel for you. To think that many, probably many, will perish in their sins after being under the means of grace 30, 40, 60 years. And then to be lost. Oh, that you would seek him, that you would desire that he would come and tarry with you. He was entreated of by these two men. They took him by the arm, I said. They said, come on in with us. Abide with us. Or could you do this? Physically, I think some of you would do it. But we cannot do that now. He is not here. But he is here with his spirit. He's here with his presence. Oh, may we entreat him to abide with us. He was entreated. He went with them. He didn't say, oh, leave me go. Don't bother me anymore. No, no. He went in to tarry with them. And they were so happy that he went in with them, you may be sure. Oh, they wanted him for their companion. They wanted to hear more about this precious Jesus. And he went in and he tarried with them. Oh, I hope he may come into your hearts, my hearers, and that he may tarry there, and that he may leave something of his sweet and divine love in your very souls. And so he went in and tarried with them. And when he went in, he sat down at meat with them. And we see him, who was a guest, who had been invited by them. He became the head of the table, which was unusual. Usually, the person that invites somebody is at the head of the table. But here, Jesus sat at the head of the table. And he took bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it unto them. There's a lesson here, too, my hearers. In the first place, let us have Jesus at the head of our table. What do I mean by that? I mean that it is from him that we have all our blessings. The food that we eat, the health that we enjoy, the things that we have in our home, the Lord has granted them unto us. Oh, to see that his hand is bountiful to us, even in providential blessings. Oh, may we see this blessed Jesus every time we sit down to a meal. And may we realize that we are unworthy of what we have, that his goodness, kindness, and long-suffering over us is sweet, is wonderful, and that for sinners such as we are. And we find Jesus blessing the food that he was to eat. How many of you do this? How many of you ask a blessing upon the food that you're going to partake of? It's customary with us as Dutch people to teach our children from our youth to pray before their meals and after their meals. But how many of you young people growing up in life, how many continue to do this? Oh, do not cast the things behind your back
what your parents have taught you and instructed you in. They're good things. They remind you that there's a God in heaven above. They remind you that it's from Him all blessings flow. Oh, to beseech the Lord for a blessing upon what He has granted unto us, and to be content and to be thankful with what we have. Oh, be it ever so meager, be it ever so coarse, oh, what we have, we should be so thankful. How seldom we are, my hearers, in the right place. Oh, may the Lord bring us in this place. Time was when some of you were in this place. What you had on your table was so great and so good of God to give to you, you were so unworthy of it. You remember those times, some of you? Oh, the goodness of God over us, even in a natural sense. In the Lord Jesus Christ, He prayed, He blessed, it says. And I could just picture in my mind these two men. Oh, when He began to pray, how they likewise were united with Him in prayer. There was such a unity with Him. He united their hearts with what He was speaking. They felt such an attachment to Him. And then when He was finished blessing it, He took the bread and He gave to them. We can't read what the thoughts were of these two men. But I thought they were saying in themselves, why, this is just like when Jesus was with the disciples. Surely, when He was in our midst, this is just the way He did. I think some of the scales began to fall off their eyes when He began to give them the bread. And then suddenly, their eyes were open. And they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. Their eyes were open, the mist, the fog, the things that held back the view of this precious Christ from them immediately was taken away, and they were given to see Him. That it was Jesus, there was no doubt about it. They had no question about it. No, He might have been in another form, but nobody could make themselves like Him. It was sure Jesus to them, and just as they had this assurance that it was Him, He immediately disappeared. He immediately slipped out. He immediately departed. As I said, He had that power to make Himself visible and invisible. So it seems after He was raised from the dead. And now these two disciples, what this must have been to them. Oh, what wouldn't it be to you, Saul? Wouldn't you like to see Him? Wouldn't you like to have Him in your midst? Wouldn't you like to just view Him? You see how short the view was of Him? It was only for a minute that they seen Him. Here we only have transient views of Jesus. But when we get to heaven, we will view Him as He is. Without anything in the way, we will view Him forever, my hearers. Have you any hope that you might? Have you any expectation that you might? Oh, what a mercy if you have, my hearers. They only seen Him for a space of time, short space of time. He's gone. He vanished. And then these disciples, they began to say to each other, oh, what fools we were. We never realized that it was Him until now when He revealed Himself to us. Oh, there was nobody that could talk like He did. He spoke to the heart. Don't you remember? They were saying to each other how our hearts burned within us while He spake to us over the way, and when He opened unto us the Scriptures. Oh, my hearers, there may be some of my hearers that have this. Have never your hearts burned under the means of grace? When Jesus was speaking to you and you did not know Him, you wondered whose voice it was. You wonder where the power came from. You wonder why you felt that way and why you were given to listen the way you did. And all your heart was burning towards Him who was speaking through the sermon, through the ministry, to your heart and soul. Oh, how blessed this is, my hearers.
And still, you do not know him. Your eyes are still holding from him. You haven't had yet that blessed revelation of him to your immortal souls that he's yours, that he's your Savior. Oh, to have heart burning. I wish I had it every day, don't you? There's nothing like it in this world, my hearers. Oh, to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and that's true. Oh, when he speaks, then your soul goes out to him because he's speaking to you. And then you can speak so back to him, such like little children. Oh, it's so sweet to have something like that, my hearers. I wish that every one of you knew something about this. This is the life that God gives to his dear people. Freely does he give it. Freely ask him for it. May you be given to do like these two men. They constrained him. They pleaded with him. And he was willing to go in with them. May he be likewise willing to come into your heart and make that his dwelling place. That's all for today. My time is far gone. The Lord bless our feeble instruction to your immortal souls.